Enjoying that awesome weather? Thank goodness no rain and sunshine and cold. That's awesome. Love it. I'm excited to be here this morning. Thank you guys for coming. It is going to be a great day. And there went my notes. Son, you could have got that. Make my poor wife, baby. Thank you. Wow, what a way to start. Now, I really am excited. We're continuing on with a series this morning called Multiply. And last week, we just talked about the principles of multiplication and that we bring what we have to Jesus and that he multiplies it. That's so scriptural. And my heart through this series is that you get it, that you get that God has a heart for us. One of my life verses, quick becoming, is John 10:10. And Jesus says that the thief comes to steal, to kill, to destroy. But I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. And I'm just telling you this, that God's heart for us is that we have life to the full. Now, I understand the extremes in this, that there has been, in my opinion, anytime you talk about sowing, anytime you talk about reaping, anytime you talk about giving of yourself, giving of your resources, in church, that can be an awkward thing, can it? And I grew up in the 80s when, like, televangelists were this huge thing. Do y'all remember that? Anybody here old enough to remember the televangelists? I'm assuming they still have them, but they're relegated to one really weird channel on cable. But they used to be on like prime time back in the day when they only had like three channels and then the UHF stuff. Y'all remember that? And it used to just really just, even as a kid, man, like, what's the matter with these people? Why are they so weird? And why do they have crazy hair? And then, like, I'm supposed to put my hand on a television and pray and sow $1,000 seed of faith. And it was just... Anybody else like me, you just went like, ugh, and it was dirty. Nobody. I'm the only one that felt that way, even as a kid. I'm pretty sure that I was right on, because let me just tell you, there's truth in understanding what God has in store for us, but there's also truth in recognizing that the prosperity gospel, and let me tell you, it's true, but it's not about you getting a brand new Mercedes in a hilltop mansion. Look, can those things happen? You better believe it. Is God mad at people who are wealthy? No, absolutely not, but prosperity has very little to do with physical things and everything to do with the state of our heart, because I'm just telling you, I've met so many people that have hardly anything, and yet they're full of life and full of joy. And I've yet, conversely, I've also met people who have more than enough, and it's never enough, and there's no life in their eyes, and they're miserable. Jesus came so that we might have life and have it to the full. Man, and I woke up this morning, I slept in, y'all. I slept in, like 6:30 for me is, I was surprised my wife didn't like reach over and go like, who are you? Who's in this bed? And I slept long enough to watch the sunlight come through the window. That's like an anomaly for me. And I forgot to turn on the heater last night. So it was like 63 degrees in the house this morning. And I was freezing cold and bundled up. And man, it was great, really. And I was just so grateful for life. Like, man, every few weeks, it's like there's like a wave of gratitude that comes over me where I just feel like so grateful for life. Like, really, it'll bring tears to my eyes as I realize what a gift life is. Let me tell you, you are blessed. If you can hear my voice right now, you are blessed. Because you were able to get up out of bed and make it to church. That meant that you were healthy enough to be here, or you had a vehicle, or knew somebody who had a vehicle who could give you a ride, or you could walk here or ride a bike here, and you had enough money for gasoline or for some food, or if you're like the literally hundreds who are listening that listen online every week, that you're able to pay for an internet connection or a cell phone. Are you blessed? Man, you are blessed. We've been given a tremendous gift. It's life. May we never forget it. We are so blessed. And if you're here, you're listening, let me tell you, you're blessed financially as well. Let me tell you how blessed you are. Half of the people alive today, that's around 3 billion people, they live on $2 a day or less. Half of the people alive today. $2 a day or less. 1.3 billion people live on less than $1 a day. Over a billion don't have clean drinking water. Over 1 billion are illiterate. Pastor Josh, in preparation for this message, was telling me about his experience in the Philippines when he was at a charcoal factory and they had children, 6, 7, 8, 9 years old, that would work all day. And their payment was they got to take home a small bucket of larger charcoal briquettes. And they would sell that every day just to have enough food to eat for the day. Are you blessed? We are so blessed. That's the good news, that we're blessed. Here's some bad news. And it's just true. Because it's human nature. The more that we have, the less that we tend to give. Do you know that? It's really sad. Let's just look at the United States. In our country, the average median income in our country, those people give 3.1% of their annual income to charitable organizations or a church. 3.1% of their income that they give. That's the average median income, right in the middle. If you go to the poverty line or below, do you know what they give? 5.2% of their income. Is it just me, or is that not jive? Median income is substantially higher than the poverty level or below, but they give 3.1 versus 5.2. Is it just me, or is that a little... When I read those statistics, I'm like, wow. Then when you look at people who earn $200,000 or more, there's another drastic jump in giving. But it's a jump downwards. They give 0.7% of their income. Does this make sense? Does this logically make sense? You would think that the more that we have, the more that we would give. But that's not statistically true, because that's the human heart. And let me just tell you that God, in giving us blessings, both with health and with life and with money and resources, there's a test attached to it. Am I going to love my money, my stuff, my life more than I love Him? And here's the bottom line. If you count it as your own, you're going to hold on to it. And the more of it you seem to get, the more you're going to hold on tightly. But here's what I want you to get, and it's so foundational for understanding the principles of multiplication, of God's goodness and grace in our life. Very, very, very foundational. My life is not my own. I've got to get that. You know, the creator of the universe came to his creation in human form. You know what we called him? Jesus. The creator of all, God in human form, Jesus, but related it to himself as I'm the Son of God, which demonstrated an even greater love in God sending more than just him, but his Son, and saying, and now Jesus said, I'll give my life. Are we willing to give? Am I willing to lay everything down? I have to regularly and routinely remind myself, it's not my life. He says, Lord, I'm yours. And then I have to start giving things away internally. God, my house isn't my own, it's yours. My vehicles aren't my own, they're yours. My wife, not my own, yours. My kids, they're not even my kids. Like, I mean, they are like my kids, like my wife and I, they look like me, and we can do the DNA test. And they're my children, but y'all know what I mean. Like, I have to surrender them and go, Lord, they're yours. Everything that you've given me in life is a gift, starting with this breath. Thank you. God, I give it right back to you. So here's a key thought I want you to get. What you keep is all you have. What you give to God, he'll multiply it. What you keep, it's all you have. But what you give to God, he multiplies it. How many here want a multiplication of life inside of you? I do. I mean, you can look at somebody in the eyes. You can talk to somebody and you can see if they're full of life or not, right? Maybe I'm the only one that can do that. I don't know. Can you look at people and tell if they're excited to be alive or not? Have y'all met people that you look in their eyes and they're a walking zombie? They're a dead person. Have you? I've worked with a lot of people who have been through a lot of junk. And on the inside, there's no life. Can I just tell you? Life is a gift. Even if you go through a lot of junk, especially if you go through a lot of junk, if you trust God and surrender everything to Him, you're going to find out how good He is, how big He is, and how good life can be in spite of all the garbage that you've walked through. Man, that was one amen. I'm telling you, that's so true. If you've walked through junk or you've lived through junk, especially if it's been the case, when you say, God, here is everything, and you give it to Him, your heart, your mind, your soul, your life, all the good things that you've done, all the good things that you are, all the bad things that you've done, all the bad things that have happened to you, and you let go of that and you give it to Him, you're going to find out how big and how amazing God is. It's a principle. It's a spiritual law. It's the principle of sowing and reaping, and I want to talk to you about that today. Two principles that are really foundational and simple in sowing and reaping. Principle number one, you reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. Galatians 6:7 says this, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap." Don't be deceived, God's not mocked. Whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. You reap what you sow. It's a law. A lot of people live a miserable existence. I don't want that for you. A lot of people live a happy existence. I want that for you. But what I want most is you to understand the source of joy. Because when you understand the source of joy, and I'm telling you, you should write this down, when you understand the source of joy, you'll never be without it. Joy is the ability to be okay regardless of what's going on around you and where you are. And the principle of reaping and sowing, sowing and reaping hold true in that. You reap what you sow. Have you ever had the experience with life seeming like a roller coaster? Like you're good, like everything's good, and then all of a sudden it seems to tank and you're in the valley, and it's like, why is it so bad? I don't understand it. And then you begin to change just a couple small things, and then it gets good again. You're like, yeah, this is awesome, and it feels like you can kind of go on coast, and then all of a sudden it starts to tank again, and your life begins to look like this. Has anybody ever experienced that? You ever wonder why that is, and why can't I just be at the place where I'm continually okay with everything that's going on, and everything that's going on doesn't affect me so much, and why the bad stuff? You've ever wondered that? How is it that the Apostle Paul could write with such joy to all of these churches, and he's saying, you know, God's grace and peace to you, just, and it's a very positive letter that he sends to them while he's writing from jail? How does that happen? It's because he understood the principle that you will reap what you sow. And what has he sown for years? Good things. Why do people do like this? I'm just firmly believe it's because they've started just little things, sowing a couple little good things, that good seed that brings about a change, and they get to the place where like, wow, this is really pretty good. And then they stop sowing because they're like, man, it's all right. I'm okay. I don't have to keep doing those things. It's like going to the gym and getting in shape, and then you get in shape and you say, I feel pretty good. I've been going to the gym. You kind of slack off. What happens? You stay in shape? No. You just coast. You coast. The only way you're going to keep coasting is going downhill, baby. Why is it that people end up doing this? It's because they don't understand the principle of sowing and reaping. It doesn't mean that bad stuff doesn't happen to you. It means that as you sow good seed, God's seed, the fruit that comes from that far outweighs the junk around you. It's very practical, very practical. I'm going to break it down very simplistically. If you smile at someone, chances are, what are they going to do back to you? they're going to smile back. If you forgive someone, do you think you got a greater or lesser chance of them forgiving you? A greater chance. Let me just tell you, I had a terrible marriage for a long time. Terrible marriage for a long time. It was all Lisa's fault. Why are y'all laughing? Because that's what I thought. And I thought, well, if she'd just change this, and if she would just do this, and I can't believe, and it was seeds of condemnation that I was sowing into the marriage. It was seeds of misery, arrogance, sowing those seeds into the marriage, and then wondering why it was so bad, sowing blame. Well, that was a big one, blame. I'd sow seeds of blame and blame and blame and blame and blame. And then wonder why in the world it was so bad. Because let me tell you right now, you reap what you sow. But when God opened my eyes, it's a long story. I'm not telling it now, but it was a God deal years and years ago. Thank goodness before we had children. Opened my eyes, and I realized the seeds that I had been sowing in my marriage were the source of all the misery. Because you reap what you sow. Don't be deceived. God's not mocked. Whatever a man sows, this he'll also reap. So true. The second principle. You reap more than you sow. You reap more than you sow. I'm going to say it again because it's so true. You reap more than you sow. Question, is it easier to sow good seeds or bad seeds? What is it easier? Maybe it's just me, but for me, it's a whole lot easier to sow bad seeds. I have to be very intentional about sowing good seeds. And as I get older, the more intentional I have to be. Because it's easy for me just to go, oh yeah, really? Well, let me tell you what I think, because I don't really care what too many people think anymore. Y'all following me? Tell me I'm not the only one like this. You reap more than you sow. I love ices. I know it's cold today. It's like the first cold day of the fall, but y'all love ices as well? You ever been to a place and you order an icy and they give it to you and they put the little dome thing on it and it's like not up to the, it's not... Yeah, and you're like, it's got the dome thing so you can fill it up to the, but it's only up to the, does that bother you? Is it just me? Maybe when I get an icy, I'm like, give it to me. I'm going to do it myself. And I'm going to get the icing and put it in and it's going to overflow at the top. And when you take it off, it goes poop and a little thing steps off the top of the icy. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Isn't that how you want it to be? Everybody wants an overflow in their life, but you got to have an overflow of the right thing because nobody wants an overflow of a bad icy. I want good stuff. Realize you've got to sow good seed because you will reap more than you sow. I mean, the power in an apple seed, it's pretty amazing. It's untold. We don't even know because that one apple seed can produce so many apples that in turn produce apples. And if you plant an apple seed, what are you going to get? Apples. You plant an orange seed, what are you going to get? Oranges. You plant grape seeds, what are you going to get? Grapes. You plant nothing, what are you going to get? Nope, you're going to get weeds every time. Every time you're going to get weeds. What's the point? Know what you're sowing and realize that you saying, I'm not sowing neither good or bad, then let me tell you, you're going to live in a place of weeds and that's not God's heart for you. Matthew 19:29, Jesus says this, everyone who's given up houses or brothers or sisters or fathers or mothers or children or property for my sake will receive 100 times as much in return and will inherit eternal life. What are you giving up for the sake of God? What are you saying, Lord, I'm sowing your seed. I'm giving this for you. I'm planting this for you. What is it? So many times, people are unwilling to sow into the things of God. Why? Because it takes intention mixed with discipline and action. It's not always easy. But I want to give you five truths about sowing. Before I do, I want to share the fact that honestly, I feel really qualified to speak this message. And I'm fully and very aware of the fact when pastors start talking about reaping and sowing, there has often been historically the guy on TV, that's what comes to my mind. Why don't you sow your $1,000 seed of faith? And that just kind of freaks me out and I hate it. That's not my heart. But let me tell you that this I know, that when we understand God's principle and it begins with a heart of gratitude, an understanding of what's been given us, and then we intentionally sow things, you will reap what you sow, and it's awesome. One of the greatest things that my wife and I ever sowed, and I'm just telling you right now, is when our marriage was not good. But we knew that God had a purpose and a plan for us. And we had moved to Lafayette, to the Lafayette area, to be a part of a church planter that just started. And we bought a dumpy trailer on Willow Street in Scott at a really rough trailer park. We paid $6,500 for the trailer. And we lived there for a year, and then I was asked to come on staff. Lisa was still in school. I was making next to nothing. I mean, very, very, very little. But they were going to give us a place to stay. Our previous place, before we were in the trailer, had been a barn that we renovated. Then we're in this really dumpy trailer. It's either 1973 or 1976 trailer that was broken and nasty. But we loved it. And I look back, those are some of the best times of our life. And the church was growing, had gone from a handful of people to where it was really beginning to grow. And there was a campaign to build a building. And we just really felt like the Lord said to us, give your trailer. But we were moving onto the property in a house that we thought was great, which was really kind of ended up not being so great because it flooded every time it rained hard. But it was still awesome. We loved it. It was still a great place to be. And we just felt, though, that our trailer, God called us to sow everything from the sale of that trailer. And in good Jewish fashion, my background being Jewish, we made money on the trailer. And at the time, it was a substantial amount of money for us. And I remember Lisa and I just talking it over and going, yep, this is the Lord. We know that we're supposed to sow this. It wasn't about a pastor. It wasn't about a church, though we knew we were right where we were supposed to be. But we just felt like it was the Lord saying, hey, kind of challenging us. Why don't you give this? Let me just tell you right now, that was honestly the best investment I've ever made. My wife and I, for years, the income and expenses didn't match up, and it was in the bad way, not the good one. I talked about that last week. But one thing that we've found is we've given over and over of our time, our resources, ourselves. God has met us. Let me remind you, what you keep is all you will ever have. When you give of your heart, your mind, your soul, your resources, God multiplies it. I'm so grateful. The story is so detailed. I can't share it all now, but I can tell you that I've been blessed over and over and over, knowing this truth. You reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. And you reap more than you sow. Five truths about sowing. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 15. Let's read this together. Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. Can I just say, isn't that freedom? For God loves a person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you'll always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scripture says, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he'll provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So two good things will result from this ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. As a result of your ministry, they'll give glory to God. For your generosity to them and to all believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. And they will pray for you with deep affection because of the overflowing grace that God's given you. Thank God for this gift, too wonderful for words. What's the gift? The gift that we have and sowing. Here's five simple truths that I want you to get about sowing. Number one. It begins with letting go of what you're holding on to. Look at verse 6. Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. So here's my question to you. What are you holding on to? At this point, this is where people think, well, Pastor's talking about my pocketbook. If you're thinking that, it may be your pocketbook. But let me just tell you that the principle here is way bigger than that. What is it that you're holding on to? What is it that you're refusing to give? Can I tell you, in my experience, this is what it is with most people. Not always, but it hits so many. It's forgiveness. They hold on to it. What has been given you? A gift of life. And in spite of us not having a full revelation of how awesome it is, and in spite of us not realizing that in our own brokenness and sin, Jesus paid the price. He took the penalty on the cross for us. He forgave us even when we weren't even asking for it. He acted. And yet so often we hold on to unforgiveness. We hold that forgiveness and say, I cannot release it because you don't know what so-and-so did and here did and my mama did and my daddy did and these people did to me and this teacher and this person and this pastor and this. And hold on. Can I tell you? Here's the first truth about sowing. You got to let go of something. You got to let go, honestly, of whatever it is that you're holding on to is yours. And many people hold on to forgiveness and say, I will not. That is such a scary place to be in. Go read Matthew 6 where Jesus says, it's red letters, he says, if you're not willing to forgive others, how in the world can your Father forgive you? He can't. What are you holding on to? Here's the first truth about sowing. It begins with letting go of what you're holding on to. John 12, 24 says this, I tell you the truth, this is Jesus. He's talking about himself when a group of Greeks come to him and say, man, what's going on with you? What are you talking about? He says, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. The reason that so many people, even Christians, live miserable lives is because they hold on to things they should not be holding on to. Stop holding on to the pain, to the hurt, to the wounds. If you hold on to wounding, you'll never be healed. If you hold on to life like it's your own, you'll never be satisfied because God is the one who created you and made you and placed you right where you're supposed to be. And if you're holding on, trying to figure it out all yourself, you'll never get it because he's the one who holds the secret to your life. Am I making sense here? What is it that you're holding on to? So many people plant a few seeds and they get a small crop. And they look at the field of their life and they wonder why it's not full. It's because they've held on to the seed of life that God's given them. The second thing, first truth about sowing, it begins with letting go of what you're holding on to. The second truth, it's the heart that matters. Look at verse 7. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. Are you able to give cheerfully? Human nature, as we said at the beginning, the more that you get, the harder it becomes to give. It's a test. Am I going to love my life, my stuff? My money, my will more than God's. God is concerned with our heart, our life, our resources, our checkbook, our time, our heart, our tests. It's the heart that matters. Are you able to give cheerfully? Isn't that a great verse? God loves a cheerful giver. In all the years that my wife and I have given, and we've been married for over 18 years now, it's a joy to be able to write out a check or to give somebody a vehicle or to be a blessing to someone. I love it. It's fun. In fact, even with our staff, I tell them, like, hey, if as soon as, like, this gig as a pastor, like, as soon as it gets, like, not fun, like, I quit. And I'm serious. Now, here's the reality. Does it ever get to the place where it's stressful and difficult and hard and you're like, oh, this can be... Can I just tell you, most of the time, I can't believe I get paid to do what I do. But there are those moments where I'm like, man, I don't get paid nearly enough to do what I do. May it be a joy to give. You know, in our own life, you know, I was raised, number one, by a dad who understood giving. And his principle was live on a third, invest a third, and give a third. And that's a pretty tall order. One of the foundationals for my wife and I when we got married, I mean, it was just ingrained in me, like, we give, and we give big, we give a lot. That's what we do. That's what God's called us to. There were those moments where it wasn't necessarily fun to give. We're writing out the check. I'm thinking, okay, let's just be honest. My wife writes out the checks because she's way more detailed than me. I'll just say, let's go this direction, and she'll figure out how to make it work. But she's writing out the checks, and I'm watching her write it out, and we're looking at it, and I'm thinking, income, expenses, they don't add up. How can this be? But even in that, I was glad to do it because I knew the truths about sowing and reaping. Truth one, it begins with letting go. Truth two, it's the heart that matters. Truth three, you cannot outgive God. That third truth, I've lived it. I've lived long enough now, done this faithfully enough to say that you cannot outgive God. I understand the struggle and the battle. Like, should I give this? Should I? Oh, I don't know. I understand it. It's like the kid in church, you know? I grew up in a very liturgical church that, like, I had to sit there like a stone, and if I did anything, like, my arm would be completely pinched off. Y'all remember that little pinch by your mama? Oh, man, those things hurt. And I remember the offering plate coming, and it's like the kid that was in a church like that, and he had a $1 bill and a $5 bill, and he's listening to the pastor and the sermon, and the offering's coming, and his mama's looking at him kind of proud because he's got a $1 bill and a $5 bill. And in his mind, he's thinking to himself, like, one or five? What do I give, like a one or five? He's like, mama's looking at me. I got to give something like a one or a five. And so it comes down, it's like decision time, one or five, one or five. I don't know. It comes, and then he puts the $1 bill in, and his mom kind of, and then goes on. They finish the message, and afterwards on the way home, she's like, well, baby, I noticed that you had a $1 bill and a $5 bill, and like you gave the $1 bill instead of the $5 bill. And he's like, well, yeah, mama, because that's because the pastor said that God loves a cheerful giver, and I figured I'd be a lot more cheerful if I had the five and he had the one. I get the struggle. Like, I get it. But here's what I want you to know. You cannot outgive God. Look at verse 8. God will give and God will generously provide all you need. You will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. We lived that for a long, long, long time. Over a decade where our income and expenses did not match up. And yet, I was able to cheerfully give, even though there was the stress of like, I don't know how this is going to work. And yet, God met us time after time after time. And we were able to give and give and give. We tallied it up. We're not quite sure. We've given away decent, like nice vehicles, either 4 or 5. And I'm telling you, on a pastor's salary, that just doesn't even comprehend, make sense. We're able to get, and I'm telling you, like you reap what you sow. God is so good, and he's always provided. Because you cannot outgive God. And every time my wife and I have given big, either in like portions of homes or in vehicles, like I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe God, this is so big. Like we feel excited about it and challenged to do it. It's a step of faith. We feel like God's calling us to do it. Like, oh, I don't know how you're going to do it, God, this is so big. And it's like, he outdoes himself in showing you cannot outgive him. I stand up here honestly. I can't imagine you knowing somebody that's more blessed. And it's not because I'm big or good or spiritual. I'm just telling you, if you know me, it's God. It's not me. These principles are true. The fourth one. A God seed meets a God need. Look at verse 10. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat it. God provides us the seed. But what is it for? To meet a God need. Anybody here ever had God needs? Like, oh my God, if you don't show up, like, I'm big time in need. Anybody had a need like that? Like, not a disrespectful, but like, this is like, oh God, I need, there's an, if you had those, let me tell you, it's a God seed will meet a God need. God's the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide an increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of what in you? What's it say? A great harvest of what? Generosity in you. If you've got a God need, start thinking about a God seed. When my wife and I would get in those moments financially where it was really tight and like, God, you got to show up. Like, this is crazy because like the income expense brackets really weren't adding up. We're like, okay, this is coming down to the wire. This is way more comfortable than I like. My mindset began to be, what is it that I can give away? I may not have money, but what can I give away? Can I give away a guitar? Because I if I had any extra money, it was usually going to guitars or guns. Sorry. My wife wouldn't let me have motorcycles. I got rid of most of those when we first started dating. It was guitars and guns. I have an affinity for guitars and guns. And so it would be like, what can I give away? Do I need to give away a guitar? Do I need to give away? What do I need to do here? Because I realized that there was a God need. There was a God seed. The last thing as we wrap up. A God seed brings glory to him. Look what happens when we don't hold on to what is we consider ours. When we have a heart that is happy to give. When we realize that no matter what we give, we cannot outgive God. If it's something that we're letting go of, that we're not holding on to, that our heart is right. That we're doing it from a place where we want to, not from a place of compulsion. A God seed brings glory to him. Look at verse 13. As a result of your ministry, now Paul's writing to a group of people who are giving. He says, they'll give glory to God. Your generosity to them and to all believers will prove that you're obedient to the good news of Christ. They'll pray for you with deep affection because of the overflowing grace God has given to you. People give glory to God because you let go of what's in your hand. What's in your heart. And my prayer for you is that you understand the principles of sowing and reaping. You reap what you sow, you reap more than you sow. But here's the big point that I want you to get more than anything else. I want you to get that it begins with letting go of what you're holding on to. It begins with letting go of what you are holding on to. And I'm telling you, people hear a message on sowing and reaping from a pastor and they think about money. That's a part of it. Can I tell you the greater principle is the life principle of our lives is they're not our own. My life isn't my own. If I'm holding on to forgiveness, if I'm holding on to wounding, if I'm holding on to my finances, whatever I say is mine, don't you understand that you're withholding that from God? They're his. May today you wake up spiritually and see that it's a beautiful, amazing day. It's crisp. It's cool. The sunlight's flooding in. I will remember for a long time that first breath this morning, waking up. Whew, it's cold, feels good though. It's life. Let's bow our heads. If you're here and there's an area that you're holding on to, may you let go of that and realize that you letting go of forgiveness, saying, I'm not holding on to unforgiveness anymore, I'm letting it go. You're sowing seeds of forgiveness. Maybe you're holding on to wounding. Then you wonder why you're not healed. Let that go. Surrender that. Maybe for you it is your finances and they freak you out and they scare you. 2 Corinthians 9, let that be peace to you. That when you surrender them to the Lord and you say, God, they're yours, I give them to you. He takes care of the rest. It's peace in knowing that. Especially when the income and expenses don't add up. If you're here and you say, Pastor, this message was for me because I know that I'm holding on to some things I need to let go of. If that's you, just raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. I need to let go of some things. Thank you. Think of hands all over the place. Let's just all pray together right now. Say, dear God, all of us, dear God, I let go. And just name right under your breath what it is that you've been holding on to. Maybe it's unforgiveness or hurt or wounding, or maybe it's you've been worrying over your finances. Give them to God. They're His. Father, I just pray right now just a spirit of peace and life in this house. Lord, I just pray your grace over this congregation. Father, I just pray that there is a spirit of faith that rises up, that we know that we can trust you with every area of our heart and life. Father, may there be freedom in this house. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. What a beautiful day, isn't it? Oh, come on, y'all got to talk to me on that. Isn't it a beautiful day? It's an awesome day. Thank you guys for coming this morning. You guys are so generous. And in just a moment, our ushers will come and we're going to receive offering. And really, like, you guys are so generous. We get to do so much in our community and internationally because of the faithfulness of people that do give. But man, here's my heart, that we give everything. We give our heart, our life, our soul, all of it. And if this morning you know that this message was for you, don't walk out of here without connecting with someone who can pray for you, who can encourage you. There's two ways that you can do that. One is you can fill out the connection card, drop it in the offering, put it either in the offering or in the boxes by the doors on the way out or by the coffee bar. And if you're interested in baptism, you've surrendered your life to Christ, that's next week. You can still fill that out this week, and we can do that. It's a lot of fun. But the greatest connection that you can have is first with God, and secondly, face-to-face with people that can be an encouragement to you. In just a moment, our prayer partners are going to come. They're going to stand on either side of the stage. If you need prayer this morning, don't walk out of here without praying with someone. That's their joy. That's their ministry. That's their heart. So why don't we stand together? Ushers, you can come up to the front. In just a moment, I'm going to pray. Offering buckets are going to be passed. Band's going to play and sing, and then Charity's going to dismiss you guys. Just ask that you stick around until she dismisses y'all. It's an awesome day, and let me remind you of one really, really important thing. The best is yet to come. Can y'all say that with me? The best is yet to come. You got to know it. Father, thank you for your goodness and your grace. Thank you for the gift of life. Lord, may we never forget how good you are. Lord, I just pray a blessing on everyone here. May they have a revelation of how much you love them and know them. And may we be grateful for what you've given us in life. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Charity?